Okay, well, good evening, everybody. Good to see you tonight. Thank you, Brian, for leading out with that topic tonight. Appreciate that. Satan's secret strategy. We're going to look tonight at what Satan's secret strategy is. First of all, he deceived the whole world and believed in his lie that you can all become gods, right? And then he got the world to believe that you don't surely die. Have you ever wondered where all these doctrines, these false teachings may have come from? Well, we want to discover that tonight. Where do these false teachings and these doctrines come from? How did they get into our church if they're not biblical? And I mean, doesn't the Christian world know about these truths, you know? There was a story that was told. I like to tell this story. You ever had one of those senior moments? I'm having one right now. I know there's a story I want to tell, but I can't think of the names in the story. So now it's just going to have to wait. I'm sorry. Man, that's bad, isn't it? It'll come to me. In Daniel chapter 8, verses 9 through 12. Oh, I know what it is. All right, here it goes. All right, there is an evangelist named Truth. And he's going through the towns. And he's preaching the message of truth. And everywhere he goes, people are beginning to accept the message. Some people don't. But you know, wherever truth goes, guess what follows behind? Lie comes following behind him, right? Truth and lie. You know, truth goes in and he comes in to preach a message, and as soon as he leaves, lie goes in, you know, or sometimes lie gets ahead of him. Truth comes in and he presents the truth as he's going from city to city. You know, it's hot out, you know, and so truth stops off and he goes and jumps in a lake and he gets all refreshed and everything, and he swims back to shore, and all of a sudden, as he comes to shore, there he sees that his clothes are missing. And it's not his clothes. Guess whose clothes it is? It's Lie's clothing. Well, Lie got there before him, so he went into the next city and began to tell him all about, you know, Lie put on Truth's clothing. He went into the next city and he began telling the people about these certain things. And all of a sudden, people started looking at their Bibles and they started looking really closely at the truth. And they looked, and sure enough, they said, "That's not the truth. That is truth or lie in Truth's clothing." And friends, that's the way the devil is. He masquerades himself in truth. Whenever, friends, we have truth and error mixed together, friends, that's a scary place. And finally, one person of the city turned around, and he comes around, and he sees a man walking down the road. He said, "Hey, guys, look who's coming down the road. Who do you think it is?" It's not just the truth. It's the naked truth. You see, truth wasn't going to wear lie's clothing. So he came with the truth. And you see, friends, we don't want to deceive anyone. We want to present the truth in its fullness, all right? God forbid that I should come out here naked one night. That's a scary thought. But anyway, friends, we want to present God's truth in its fullness, right? The naked truth. And that's what we want to look at tonight. Where did we get some of these things? Satan's secret strategy. Let's look at this. In Daniel chapter 8, verses 9 through 12, a little horn. Yea, he magnified himself even to the prince of the host, and it cast down what?
The truth.
What did it cast down? Say it with me now. You guys do not sound very optimistic tonight. You guys been eating too much ice cream today or something? Yeah, y'all sleepier, and you guys need to move. I notice you guys are like getting accustomed to just a certain place in a chair. Maybe we're going to have to play musical chairs and move you all around and get that energy going. All right. So what does it say here? And it cast down the what?
Truth
to the ground. And it practiced, and it did what? It prospered. We identified that little horn, didn't we? And that little horn is a symbol of what power? The papacy, the Roman papacy, Catholicism. And what did it do? It cast down the truth to the ground. It practiced, and it did what? It prospered. So the little horn symbolizing Papal Rome or the Roman Catholic Church. We looked at that in Daniel chapter 7, Daniel chapter 8, Revelation chapter 13, and then finally Revelation 13 about the Antichrist power. God says don't worship it. Anyone who does will receive of her plagues, right? And so those who are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life will eventually worship the Antichrist power, right? So what does this power do? It tramples down the truth because it magnifies himself. All right, we already identified this, that he magnified himself so much above God himself. And isn't that what the devil wanted to do in the first place? He wanted to magnify himself above the heights of God. And can the devil actually be God? I mean, this is simple. The devil cannot be God. And so remember the war that broke out in heaven? God and Jesus and kicked out the devil and all his evil angels, and they were cast to the earth. Why were they cast to this earth? Do you have any idea why? Just because? Somebody said because. Guess what? Adam and Eve disobeyed God. And the moment they disobeyed God, the devil said, ah, these are my subjects. That's right. So God cast the devil down here because we became subject to the authority of the enemy of God. In other words, our dominion was taken from us, and the devil acclaimed this world as his dominion. But when Jesus came to die on the cross, what did he do? He gave dominion back to the human race that they may have eternal life. All right. So what does it do? It cast down the truth to the ground, and it practiced and prospered. The little horn power was allowed to cast the truth to the ground, and then what was to take place? The judgment. Remember the 2,300 days? 2,300 days, the sanctuary shall be cleansed. We are living in the time of judgment, friends. Now is the time. Remember the book of Daniel was sealed unto the day of the end. At the end, men will run to and fro, knowledge will increase. In other words, it could be that people will begin studying the Word of God. It could be that God will be running back and forth. People, men of God, will be running back and forth to the Word of God. They will be determining what truth is. Knowledge will increase based on biblical knowledge, biblical truth. At what time? At the close of Earth, towards the end of Earth's history. The book of Daniel, the book of Revelation, were opened up to us in the 1800s, friends. When was the 2300 days fulfilled? 1844. What are we living? We're living in the antitypical Day of Atonement, or the Day of Judgment. Now, friends, is the time to get ready for the soon return of Jesus. We're not waiting until tomorrow. We don't want to wait till next week. We want to start now. The Holy Spirit says to us today, if you what? Hear His voice, harden not your heart, right? Harden not your heart. Acts chapter 3, 19 and 21. The Bible teaches, repent ye therefore and be what? Converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, whom the heaven must receive until the times of what? Restitution of all things. The time of restitution. What does restitution mean? Yes, restitution, to restore all things, to give back what is rightfully theirs. So then, God is going to restore, He's going to give back the truth to the world. Amen? And notice, whom the heavens must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all His holy what? Prophets since the world began. Remember what Brian said tonight? If they don't listen to Moses and the prophets, they won't even believe if somebody from the dead came and spoke to them. So in other words, we need to hear the word of truth. The word of truth needs to be presented before Jesus comes. Do you know why it's so important that truth is presented before Christ comes? Because we all need to make a decision based on sound doctrinal truth. Amen? We need to make sound doctrinal truth in our apply sound doctrinal truths in our lives. Now, why in the world is the devil bringing lies into this world? For what purpose? To gather them to battle for the great day of the God Almighty. Friends, if he can deceive people to believe a lie, then friends, he's got a bunch of followers. The truth does what? It sets us free, right? It sets us free in that we see how the enemy works. When I've learned how the enemy works in the unseen world, friends, it empowered my Christian life. All of a sudden, I realized that I was in a battle between good and evil, and I had to choose every day whom I would serve. Would I serve the things of this world, or would I serve my God, Jesus Christ? What would I do? I had a choice I had to make. My decisions were based on what was happening in the unseen world, what we call the great controversy. And so what is the devil trying to do? Deceive as many as he can to prepare for the great day of God Almighty. In other words, it's as if the devil's saying, I think I even have a chance here. I might be able to defeat God if I can just build up an army. You know, isn't that crazy? Who loses in the end? The devil does. And yet he's still, you know, I'm going to get God's throne, even if it's by force. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. My people are what? What does it say? My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because they have rejected knowledge. I will reject thee. In other words, catch this, friends. People are perishing, will be destroyed because of the lack of truth. And notice what happens when we accept subtle falsehoods. It becomes easier to reject other truths or even present truths that come into our life. Notice what the Bible says. Because thou hast what? Rejected knowledge. That means that people, because they have listened to lies for so long, when the truth does come their way, they say, oh, but mom and dad, that's how they did things. That's how my pastor or my preacher told me we should do things. That's how the church does things. This is what I was taught in Sunday school from my little babyhood. You know, how could they be wrong? You see? You believe a lie long enough, friends, it's easy to accept it. It's easy to adopt it. And it's easier to reject truth when it comes our way because it doesn't feel right in my heart. You know? So notice, I will also do what? He says, reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten what? The law of God. Falsehood, error, takes people away from the law of God. Truth brings people to the law of God. And what is the factor in the last days? Keep my commandments, he says. The issue of worship, God's holy day, the seventh day Sabbath. That's what's on the line here. God says this Sabbath will be a sign between you and I. It will be my covenant between you and me that you are my people. So the truth brings people back to the commandments of God. The Spirit of God will bring people to the commandments of God. Amen? So notice this. I will also forget thy children. In other words, I will not bless thy children. If you're going to reject my word, then I'm going to reject you and your offspring. And you know what's happened? Offspring typically will follow what mommy and daddy have taught them. Do you realize that what God said, when you come into the land of the land flowing with milk and honey, I want you to set up an altar there, and I want you to put my law in the hearts and minds of your children. I want you to teach them from generation to generation. When men and women begin to forget the word of God and the teachings of God, friends, the offspring will not adhere to the truths when it comes time for them. People are what? Being destroyed for the lack of knowledge. John 17, verse 17, Jesus says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is what?
Truth.
What is truth, friends?
The word
of God is truth, right? So can we depend on the word of God tonight? Can we trust in the Bible, yes or no? Yes, we can. Sanctify them. And what does the word do for us? It sanctifies us. So friends, if you're not spending time in the Word of God, don't expect to have a sanctified life. Amen? Are you catching on now? We all talk about, I want to be an overcomer of sin. I want victory in life. I want to be holy. I want to be like Christ. But if you're not spending time in the Word of God, you will not have a sanctified life. You will not overcome sin. You will not be like your Savior, Jesus Christ. You will not like benefit of the rewards of eternal life because you're not like Him. Spending time in the Word of God, friends, that's how we live a sanctified life. Jesus said, you want to know the truth? The truth does what? It sets us free. And friends, if we're going to overcome sin and temptation of this world, we've got to get into the Word of God. Amen? So make Bible study a part of a source of life for you. It's life and death, you know. Spend time in God's Word. 1 Timothy chapter 2, 3 through 4. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be what? He says, I will have all men to be saved. Is it God's desire that everybody should be saved, yes or no? When we looked at that fire, that hell fire at the end that was prepared for the devil and his angels, who was it prepared for? The devil and his angels. It says nothing about the human race. But if they accept the devil as their leader, then they're going to reap the rewards of their leader, which is the hellfire. Now notice this again. He says, "In the who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of what? So our salvation is also dependent on Jesus, yes, but also dependent on knowing the truth. When we come to Jesus, Jesus will give us the truth. Jesus will always lead us to the truth. Amen? That's the good news about Jesus. The truth will set us free. Jesus says, you know me, you will be set free. But also, too, I want you to know my truths. What is true in Scripture? He wants you to know between false and true. He wants you to know lie and truth. He wants you to know the difference. And that's why we come to these meetings. That's why we do Bible study, because we want to know how to live a sanctified life. We want to know how to follow Jesus. We want to know how to live for Him, friends. And friends, in order to learn those things, we must spend time in His Word. The Word is a sanctifying power that God utilizes to transform hearts and minds. John 16:13. Howbeit, notice what He says here, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will do what? Guide you. The Spirit of God will guide you into what? Truth. And truth always points you back to the Word of God. Jesus points you to the Word of God. The Spirit will point you to the Word of God. If you're here Saturday morning, the Spirit of God will take you to the commandments. Not only He only points you to the commandments, but He will also point you to the correct day to worship God on. And Jesus said, if they are not worshiping and honoring me according to my commands, then they're teaching the foundations and the doctrines of men. You catch that? It says, for He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to what? Things to come. What will He do? Show you things to come. Are we not in a prophetic series here, looking into the future? In other words, the Spirit of God will also open to us the books of Daniel and Revelation. Do I dare say, friends, that if people are saying to you, we can't understand Revelation, that they really don't have the Spirit of God? If they're telling you that a day doesn't really matter, if it's Sunday or Friday or Thursday, maybe they don't really have the Spirit of God working in their lives. The Spirit, friends, will bring you to the truth. We have to ask what Spirit is really working if it's causing you to disobey the Word of truth. Let's continue on. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. But if I tarry long, that you may know how you ought to do what? Behave. How many of you like this word? I don't know about that one. You're driving down the road, you got three kids in the back car, you're on the road for 12 hours. You got brother, sister back there. He touched me. You know, he smacked me. You know, he's sitting on my side of the seat. You know, he keeps touching my seatbelt. Would you tell him to move his foot? I've been there. I've done that. And you look back there and you say, would you guys behave? What are we asking? Act like civilized human beings back there. Treat each other with respect, you know, all this stuff, right? You need to behave, right? Notice, if I tarry long, that you may know how you ought to do what? Behave in the house of God. Friends, there is a way to behave in the house of God. Can you say amen? God has an order by which we are to follow. And I want to challenge us tonight, friends. If you go into a church that's kind of chaotic and kind of strange, I'm just going to stop there. The point is, there is an appropriate way to honor God in His sanctuary. Amen? And we want to remember that. Which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of what? Truth. In other words, what we're going to see, the Spirit of God will lead to truth. The Spirit of God will lead to the Word of God. The Spirit of God will lead to the commandments. The Spirit of God will point out the proper day to worship. The Spirit of God will also tell you how to behave in God's house. The Spirit of God will also say there is a church out there that presents truth. Let's continue on. Titus chapter 2, verse 1. But speak thou the things which become what? Sound doctrine. I've had people say, we don't need doctrine. That's almost like saying we don't need laws, you know? And I'll say, well, if we don't need laws, then that means I can come in your house and borrow whatever I want without your permission, right? Doctrines, friends, are our safety or our safeguard. They are a truth to help us to know which way to go. It's a light unto our path. Let's continue. Psalms chapter 119, verse 105. Thy word is a what? Lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Friends, when we are walking in truth, it's like walking in broad daylight. We don't want to walk in darkness, right? Walking in darkness means you can't see where you're going, right? Tripping over things. The Word of God is a light. It helps us see the way. And God says He wants us to know the way of salvation. The Word of God points us to the way of salvation. He says, follow my truths, keep my truths, honor my truths. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. All Scripture, how much of it? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for what? Doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be what? You know, he's just using a general term here about man. He's talking about man and woman. That the man or woman of God may be what? Be what? Perfect. How many of y'all want to be perfect tonight? How many of y'all perfect? Nobody raises their hand when I ask that one. How's that? He may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So the Bible is given for us for what? For inspiration. It's given for profit, to understand doctrinal truths, for reproof. In other words, it tells us where we're wrong and it points us in the right direction. It corrects our ways, it corrects our errors, and it teaches us how to live a righteous life. Amen? Don't you want those things? That the man of God may be perfect. In other words, the Bible is enough, has enough evidence, enough truths in it to show us how to live. Notice this, Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 20. To the law and to the testimony. To the law and to the what? Testimony. All right, to the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no what? Friends, these are strong words. I'm not saying it. Under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Isaiah spoke these words, and he says, if they are not speaking according to the law and to the testimony, it is because there is no light in them. Friends, I want to challenge religious teachers today. I want to challenge churches today. I want to challenge denominations today. They need, they must, they have to speak the truth. They have to point people to the law of God. Yet we have people out there saying the law of God was done away with. We have people saying that, well, when you die, you go to heaven or you go to hell. Friends, that's a falsehood. When they teach these falsehoods, we have to scratch our head and go, what else are they teaching that is wrong? He says, if they are not pointing out the Sabbath day to keep it holy, there's no light in them. If they're not honoring the testimony of Scripture or the spirit of prophecy, the prophetic work of Scripture, friends, then there may not be light in them. We continue on. Satan has a desire to display his power to the world. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into a what? What is he transformed into? An angel of light. So the devil always comes in a medium to display himself, not as a horned being. I mean, he would like to have people think that, but he never jumps out at you and says, hey, I'm the devil, come follow me, right? I got some good ideas here. He never does that. He always uses deception. He always works through medium. He also works through lies. Now, let's continue. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. In whom the God of this world has done what?
Blinded.
Who is the God of this world? Satan is. Lucifer. Has blinded the minds of them which believe not. That do what? Believe not. We're not talking about simple Christianity here, believing in God. We're talking about those who are not believing truths of God's Word. So if they're not believing the truths of God's Word, he says he's blinding the minds lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. In other words, he doesn't want the fullness of the glory of Jesus to shine into them. Why? Because the truth does what? Set you free. The truth will reveal truth. The Spirit of God will lead you to truth. So if we believe errors, if we accept errors, the devil is going to blind the minds of those people. We continue on. Romans chapter 1, verse 25. Who changed the truth of God into a what? What has the devil been doing? Changing the truth of God and turning it into a lie. His fatal deception today is a combination of truth and error. He combines those two together. Friends, we need to be nervous when we see congregations out there that don't stand up to the whole standard of God's Word and its truth. Truth versus error. Here's the time in which we are living. Truth versus error. We're looking at a lot of Scripture tonight. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 2 through 3. Preach the Word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. You see what God's saying here? Present the doctrines. The state of the dead, that's a doctrine. The Sabbath, it's a doctrinal challenge. These things that we've been talking night by night are mostly, or some, much to be looked at as doctrines. He says, long-suffering, doctrine, for the time will come, well, they will not endure what? They will not do what? endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having what? Itching ears, right? What does that simply mean? I want to hear what sounds good rather than what the truth is. And friends, I come across that all the time when we look at these principles of doctrinal truths found in Scripture. When it comes to the Sabbath, I don't like what that's asking me to do. I'd rather go back and hear what my preacher is telling me. I like that better. Itching ears. In other words, they'd rather hear the lies than hear the truth. Why such a deliberate attack? Why is the devil so out to attack the truths of God's Word? Well, let's continue. To deceive who? The very elect. What's his purpose? To deceive the very elect. Who's he after, friends? Those that are seeking the truth. He doesn't care about those that are already lost. He figures he's already got them. He's concerned about the ones that are Bible students. Those that are desiring to be righteous in character like Jesus. Those that want to uphold the standards of his word. Those that keep his commandments. Those that honor the Sabbath. Those that study the prophecies, those that stick to the Word of God, those who are after. And he throws in these subtle deceptions, hoping that it's possible to deceive the elect. Now, in my understanding of Scripture, the elect in the Bible are God's people. The devil knows that he's already got his people behind him, but he knows that if he can get anybody in God's church, you never get in the way between Mama Bear, right, and her cubs, right? Mama Bear gets a little upset, you know? You see, friends, God is desperate trying to save his people. And the only way that he can get back at God is, guess how? By taking as many people down with him. In other words, misery loves what? Company. He's in a miserable mess, so why not make the rest of the world miserable? You didn't have any siblings like that, you know? They were miserable, they tried to make you miserable too? Or a friend or something like that. If they were depressed, they wanted you to be depressed with them, you know? That's kind of how the devil's working, you know? I've lost this battle. I think in his mind he thinks he knows this, but outwardly he's saying, there's got to be a chance. And he's saying, man, if I can't defeat them, you know, if I can't defeat God, why don't I have a bunch of people with me to take them down? And think about it, friends. Does God ever, he forgets sins, but guess what? He loves everybody. I wonder, this is pure speculation now, there's no theological, I don't see it anywhere in Scripture, but I wonder, Jesus said he inscribed us on the palms of his hands. My imagination tells me that those scars are going to be there forever. We will see those nail-scarred hands and we will cast our crowns at his feet and we'll say, worthy is the Lamb. And that scar that's in both that either hand and his side and his feet are for those people too that rejected the Word of God. Do you realize Jesus died for Judas? But Judas rejected the message, didn't he? So could it be, friends, that down through eternity's doors, God has inscribed on the palms of his hands those people that have rejected him, that have not accepted the message of truth? Could it be that the devil is doing everything within his power to try to thwart or to hurt God? Just out of spite. That's what we're up against, friends. That's just plain, down, nasty, dirty, rough play. Continue on. Daniel chapter 8 again. The little horn, yea, he magnified himself even to the prince of the host. He cast down the truth to the ground, practice, and he prospered. So the truth was trampled down for apparently a time. All right, let's continue on. And also he will think to do what? Change times and laws. How long was he given to his hands to do this? Well, remember the 2300 days. All right? And then God will bring truth to the world again. What did this little horn power do? It transferred not only the solemnity of a holy day, but also too took away the second commandment, thus moving up the commandments, making the fourth the third, dividing the tenth in half, making them two, thus taking one of the commandments out of God. Trampling truth to the ground. All right, trampling on it. You don't need to worry about that. We'll just get it out of there. We'll just take it out of there, you know? We don't need that. We'll just pluck it right out of there, you know? Let's just get it out of the way. Then it won't bother us anymore. Can we do that with God's Word, friends? Yes or no? I don't like what the Bible's saying to me here in Philippians, so I'm just going to rip the whole book of Philippians out there. Can I do that? No. You trample the truth on the ground. Well, how in the world did paganism, how in the world did all this enter into the Christian circle in the first place? How did all this happen? Constantine, the emperor of Rome, converted to Christianity from what? What did he convert from? Paganism. Paganism. Constantine had a problem with his empire. He had some that worshipped on Sunday, worshipped the sun god. Then he had some that worshipped on the seventh-day Sabbath, Saturday. He had a divided kingdom. Well, some would say Constantine truly became a Christian. Well, he didn't really give up all of his practices. When he became a Christian, he brought some of the pagan practices into Christianity, and thus he also challenged the Christian people by uniting a day by which we could all worship. Pagans worshipped on Sunday, worshipped the sun. Why can't we use Sunday to worship the Son of God? And so paganism began to creep into the Christian era. You remember what Paul stated? He says the Antichrist is even working today. Even in Paul's time, long before the Antichrist power came to life. In St. Peter's Square, the symbol of Baal is within the symbol of Ishtar. At the center is the Egyptian obelisk, all representing pagan sun worship. So we have paganism that has entered into the church. How so? It was a combination of paganism with Christianity. Up here we see the sunburst. Here the Pope John Paul is holding what is called the monostrance, symbolizing the sun. The SFS down here at the little bottom, each of these little letters is a universal symbol for the number 6, and so thus 666, which is used as a table to understand the stars and when to worship the celestial beings and so forth. St. Peter's Basilica. Here's Peter, but actually this is a statue of Jupiter. You all seen those pictures of people come by and they kiss the toe right there of St. Peter? It's not St. Peter. Who is it? That's right, statue of Jupiter. And so they brought in these statues and they brought in these emblems of paganism and just put Christian names to them, thus combining and meshing together paganism with Christianity. Constantine was very smart. He said, I might as well get all of them in one place rather than having fighting and contending with each other. If I'm going to win them over, let's just introduce these subtleties and we can all just get along. Right? Let's continue on. How about we see this, Babylon god Dagon. You know, a fish martyr on his head right there. Notice some similarities there? Paganism came back all the way from Babylon. When they began to reject God, they started worshiping all kinds of different pagan deities and so forth. The Roman Catholic Church has adopted much of these paganistic ideas that came all the way back from Babylon, and the similarities are even seen today, such as worship of Jupiter, worshiping of the sun. We see these pictures over and over and over again. Paganism, friends, entered in to the Christian faith. The advance of centuries witnessed a constant increase of error in the doctrines put forth from Rome. Even before the establishment of the papacy, the teachings of heathen philosophers had received attention and exerted an influence in the church. Many who professed conversion still clung to the what? Tenets of their pagan philosophy, and not only continuing in its study themselves, but urged it upon others as a means of extending their influence among the heathen. Serious errors were thus introduced into where? The Christian faith. We continue on. Serious errors that have been introduced, what are they? Here are the serious errors. Immortality of the soul. Charles, where did immortality of the soul come from? We were just talking about it today. Greek philosophy. All right. Hell, eternal torment, was introduced for the indulgences. God's law could be changed. Adoration of the saints. Nowhere do we see in Scripture where God said, hey, I want everybody to honor Peter. No. After all, Peter's the one who denied the Lord how many times? 3 times, right? Sacrifice or mass is the actual body or the blood of Jesus. It's a substitute for the Lord's Supper. Popery, a substitute for Christ. Paganism, friends, began to enter or creep in to the Christian church. Immortality of the soul, foundation by which to establish the invocation of saints. To do what? To establish the invocation of saints, or to revere Mary, the mother of Jesus. In other words, these people really didn't die. They're up there in heaven now. Isn't it amazing all of a sudden they can make somebody a saint, you know, to be honored? Now, that's something interesting. Hell, eternal torment, a fabrication to introduce indulgences. The choice, friends, that we have is between truth and error. What will we choose this day? Luke chapter 18, verses 7-8. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto them, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, the question is, friends, will he find faith on the earth? In other words, friends, will he find people that uphold the standards of his truth, his doctrines, his laws, his teachings, his command, all these things? Will he find people upholding these truths that are found on the Bible and the Bible alone? Will he find these people? Will you be one of these people? Revelation chapter 16, verse 14. What is the devil doing? The spirits of devils working what? Miracles. I thought God worked miracles. This is what the devil is basically saying. During the 1260 years, he tried to persecute them. The more he persecuted them, guess what happened to the Christian church? It kept growing. And he couldn't overcome this. So guess what he said? If I can't beat them, right, Larry? If I can't beat them, I might as well join them, right? So there's a trade-off for them. If I can't beat them, might as well join them, right? Spirits of devils working miracles which go forth to the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of the great God of Almighty. In other words, introduce errors and get a following to challenge the validity of the Word of God. But also, too, we will take God's kingdom. We don't need God's laws. We can have our own government. In fact, you follow me, there will be no more taxes. Nobody's saying it. I thought that was kind of funny. Follow me and we will have a government that will be far better than the kingdom of God. Truth, friends, will lead us to Jesus. Error leads us away from Jesus. The more we accept error in our lives, friends, the easier it becomes to follow the adversary, with which he deceived them that had received what? The mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire with brimstone. If it were possible, friends, to deceive the very elect, the purpose, friends, of these falsehoods, friends, is to go after the church of God, to go after the word of truth, to go after those who stand up for truth. Friends, that's why it's so important that we spend time in God's word. That's why it's so important that we utilize the Word of God, that we honor God's Word, that we say, okay, God, you said to do this, this is what I'm going to do. God says, I want you to jump. You say, how high? God says, I want you to run, and you say, how far? See, friends, that's what the Word of God is. We follow the dictates of the Bible, not what man teaches. And again, over and over again, Satan's secret strategy is to come through the back door, introduce falsehoods, so he can gather a people to follow him. The more and more we listen to error, the more and more it will be more easier, if you will, for us to follow the adversary in the last days. Do you see now why it's so important, friends, that we have to be careful with what we watch, what we hear, what we eat, what we take in, a whole nine yards, because it affects our spiritual life, friends. We watch lies on the TV all the time, these soap operas, right? I love you, honey, you know, and this guy's cheating over here, you know, and, you know, I was just talking about this the other day. Was it Charles, you and I were talking about General Hospital? We don't watch General Hospital, by the way, but he said he went somewhere and somebody was watching General Hospital or something. And I remember General Hospital, my mom watching that when I was a kid. And that program's still going. The question is, how in the world can they keep going based on adultery? I mean, come on, you know. We watch lies and then we expect ourselves to be alert when lie comes our way. You see, what we watch, what about the things we listen to? You know, the music comes banging in, boom, 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 you know, all that stuff, you know. And got this beat in there, you know, that gets you kind of roused up, you know. I got these feelings, and then you listen to these songs, you know, especially these country and western. God didn't like my wife, you know, she kicked me out of the house. I went to the bar, drank 12-pack, went out to the cornfield, did donuts, accidentally ran over a deer, and oh, well, it was a miserable life and all this stuff, you know. You see, friends, how can we listen to that stuff to the glory of God? You see, we listen to lie all the time, and the devil is putting it up there everywhere, right? Everywhere. and we call it a white lie, and we say that's okay. You know, it's okay to lie sometimes for the better good of other people. You know, I mean, how many of you ever caught a fish this big? You know what I'm talking about, men? You know, I caught a fish that big, but, you know, I go and tell my friend it was this big, you know, and then I go and tell my other friend it was this big. And by the time I get home, my kids come, hey, Dad, you catch fish? How big was it? Like this, man. I mean, it was like this, you know. And we do it all the time, you know, and we think nothing of it. Friends, we've got to accept and adopt the word of truth in our lives, amen? We have to. The devil is subtly creeping into our lives through TV, through entertainment, through anything he can to get to subvert, to take the attention of our minds off of the truth. For what purpose? To gather them to the battle of the great Almighty. Friends, if we can distract ourselves from the word of truth, the devil says, or God says concerning that they will worship that power. Do you want a sanctified life? Get in the word of God. You want to have a life of righteousness and holiness? Understand the truth of God's word. Do you want to be like Jesus? Spend time in the word of God. You see, friends, all of this is, hey, listen to your preacher, listen to your teacher. That's all you need to do. Go to church once a week, hear a good sermon, pay my tithe. Hey, pff, everything's good. I got my foot in heaven. You know, it's like my uncle used to say, I got one foot on a banana peel and the other one I have in the grave. You know, it's a slippery slope, friends. People keep church membership thinking that because they have a membership somewhere, they're going to make it into heaven. But they act like jerks and morons the rest of the week. Sorry for my language there. Does that make any sense? Friends, conformity to the Word of God is what's important today. We need to be like Christ. We need to follow His truth. And when God comes knocking on our door and He says, do you see the Sabbath truth? Do you see the seventh-day Sabbath? If you see it, then stand on it. Follow it. May it be a principle enacted in your life. Make a choice whom you will serve. If you reject today, friends, it becomes easier and easier to reject the word of truth. We need to stand on the word of truth. Luke chapter 21, verse 8, and he said, take heed that ye be not deceived, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am what? In other words, many will come prophesying and say, I have a message of truth, right? We must always open the Word of God and test all doctrines by the Word of God. Any messenger should be challenged by the Word of God. Amen? Take what I say, challenge it by the Word of God. Continues on, I am Christ, and the time draweth near. Go ye not therefore, what? After them. Now is the time to turn away from falsehoods. Turn away from false teachings. If you know they are wrong, turn your back. Go the other way and say, God, lead me into the truth. Isaiah chapter 8, if to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this, is because there's no light. John chapter 5, verse 39, search the scriptures, for in them you what? What does it say there? You think you have eternal life. You think. Catch this now. Some people say, I have eternal life, just as Brian was saying earlier. Where'd you go, Brian? There he is. Because I'm connected to Abraham, everything's cool. Because I am in the church, everything's cool. But he says, search the scriptures, for in them you think. In other words, as Paul stated, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. You go to the Word of God to find the way of salvation. Amen? Go in there and find the way to salvation. That's what the Word of God is. Find your way to Jesus. Find your way to eternal life. And they are which testify of me. What does the Bible do? Who is it to testify of? It always points to Jesus. The Word of God will always point to Jesus. And they that heard it said, who then can be saved? And he said, the things which are impossible with men are what? Possible with God. I've had people say, well, I don't understand what you're saying night by night. I can't comprehend. I go and study. It just doesn't make sense, friends. Get in it. Keep doing it. God will make a revelation to you. God will reveal His truth to you in His time. Amen? Don't give up. Don't get discouraged. And you say, what's that, 2,300 days? Friends, I don't think God is going to say, I want you to give me an essay on the 2,300 days before you can have eternal life. We need Jesus, don't we? We need to be sealed by the Spirit of God. Yes, friends, truth sets us free and it helps us to walk in the right path in the latter days. But God will hold us accountable to the light by which we know right now. Take that truth, apply it in your life. John chapter 14, Jesus said, Unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Come unto me, all ye that do what? Labor, and I will give you what? Come unto me, and I will give you rest. How do we come to Jesus, friends? First, we say, Lord, here I am. I open the door of my heart. Come in. Secondly, we take the Word of God, and we begin to read it, and we begin to study it. This is how we get to know Jesus. I heard somebody, I think, said one time that the Bible is like the audible voice of God. This is how God speaks to us. And I've heard people say, but Pastor, I never hear the voice of God. And I ask them, when's the last time you read the Bible? When's the last time you spent time in God's Word? That's how God communicates to us. Spend time in the Word of God. When we come to the Word of God, you will find Jesus. The devil knows that if he can keep people away from the Word of God by watching WWF, watching Days of Our Lives Gone By, watching days at the hospital after I'd been sick 100 years and had multiple relationships in one bedroom and all this crazy stuff. And he knows that if he can distract our attention from the Word of God, many a souls will lose out on eternal life. How did these falsehoods get introduced? When Christianity and paganism combined themselves together, and those paganistic practices were endorsed by the church, and many a people believed the lies that came from that church. And thus, friends, the devil said, if I can't beat them, I might as well join them. I want to challenge us today. Do you want to stand on the truth of God's Word? Satan's secret strategy is to combine truth and error, but we must be a people to know the difference between the two. We need to know the difference between truth and error. Will you be a people that says, I want to study God's Word? I want to know the truth for the times in which we live. Will you say with me today in your hearts and your mind's eye, Lord, as I look to you, I want to study, I want to be a student of your Word. If that's your desire tonight, will you stand with me? As you make this stand tonight, you're saying, Lord, I am making it a practice as of tonight to spend time in your Word, to study your Word, to understand the Word of truth. I may not fully comprehend it now, but I'm going to take the time to spend time in your Word. Some people have asked me, well, where do I start? Where do I begin? And they say, I've started with Genesis, and I got all the way to about Exodus, and after that, and Leviticus kind of petered off. You can always start with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Wonderful stories. Gospel of Jesus Christ, how much he loves you. That's a great place to start. Why don't you start out by getting to know your Jesus? And next time you see when a woman or a man came to Jesus in desperation, put your name in there. A woman came to Christ. She had an issue of blood for 30 years. She said, if I just touched his garment, I will be healed. Put your name in there, I had an issue. I had a problem for the last 30 years. If I can just reach out and touch the garment of Christ as him, I will be healed. There was a woman at the well. Jesus begins to talk to her. She was an outcast. She was considered a lowlife, nothing to be expected of. She had multiple husbands, and Jesus told her all things. She was so excited, she went back. She said, come and hear a man that tells me all things. You see, we can be like that, Lord, you know all things in my life. Read my heart. There was a man who had a son sick, possessed by a demon. He brings him to the disciples. The disciples can't heal him. Jesus comes down. He sets the boy free. God loves my children. See, we make these stories personal in our lives. We apply them to us. Jesus said, ask, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. We just need to ask. Read the Gospels. Come to know Jesus like you've never known him before. Why? Because Jesus is the one coming through the clouds of glory. And he is coming to take you home. Don't you think we ought to know a little bit about him? If we're going to live forever with him? Let's pray. Father, which art in heaven, thank you so much for this wonderful privilege of the gospel. Bless each person here tonight. May we stand on the standard of your truths, the Bible. Lead us into truth. Direct our paths. We thank you for hearing our prayers. We thank you for honoring us and giving us what you deserved. You gave us what you deserved. And you took our place on Calvary. Save us to the uttermost and bring us home. Give us discernment and wisdom to understand your word and to know the difference between truth and error. We are living in the last days when the devil is out to attack your people, Lord. So save us now in Jesus' name. Amen.